hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. If you've been with us in the first hour, thank you very much. We're glad you're back with us. J.R. Sammerhammer will be joined by, later on this morning, Keegan Matheson covers the Jays for MLB.com. It's time we talk a little bit of Jays, man. This team is hot. 12-1 in the month of September. They have surged to the top of the wild card standings. Game up on the Red Sox and the Yankees. We'll talk some Blue Jay baseball coming up later on this morning. We'll be calling one of you who got at least one code word into us in our Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest coming up. So stand by. We could be calling you on that. And later on this hour, somebody's got a chance to win $1,000 cash in our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. All right. Monday night football game last night was absolutely epic. Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime. Red Blacks make some made some changes yesterday, made some signings. So we'll chat about that as well. But let's get caught up, Simmer, on what's going on the National Hockey League front. Yeah, didn't spend any time on that first hour. Sens wrapped up a development camp yesterday. They'll start rookie camp tomorrow. And Angus Cruikshank has become an interesting prospect since signing on with the team out of the University of New Hampshire at the end of last year. He ended up playing, what did he get? Was it 20? Did he get in 20 games, I believe it was, and had 16 points. Ended up producing pretty well in his first year of professional hockey. Here is Jesse Winchester, who alongside Sean Donovan runs the Sens development camp on Angus Cruikshank.
He continues to impress. He's relentless, works his tail off every day. He wants to get better, and he's pretty darn skilled, so... I love his attitude. I love what he brings, and he's going to challenge guys this week and then into next week, I hope, too.
All right. So, again, probably a little bit early in terms of challenging for a National Hockey League spot, but, put himself on the radar screen last year, we'll say, with his performance at the end of the season.
Yeah, not a ton of hockey, JR, only 20 games at UNH, but ended up having 18 points. And as you said, coming to the American League a different year, but at 21 years old, 19 games, 16 points, not bad. Don't know much about him other than extremely competitive and excited for, I hope, I'm assuming, on Saturday they'll play the best of the bunch. So he, along with Sokolov and a whole bunch of guys, I'm excited to see. And that is a nice part about a rookie game. There's not often, again, in COVID times that you really have many guys to watch. So, as I said, I'm excited to get my first sighting of the young man.
Yeah, there are only, I believe, 23 players at rookie camp because of the late start to it, the fact that NCAA players can't be there. So Sanderson, Clevin, and Boucher for the Sens will not be there. So it's only 23. So I don't know that they'll probably end up dressing, and that includes four goalies. They'll probably end up dressing everybody, all of the skaters at least. So got a chance to watch everybody coming up Saturday, 4 o'clock, by the way. Dean and Gord will have the call here on TSN 1200. Sens and Habs prospects will go at it to, we'll say unofficially, kick off the new hockey season. All right, so that's that. Now, the rest of the story remains the number one overarching storyline as we are 8 days away now from the beginning of Sens training camp. Continues to be the status of Brady Tkachuk, which leads us to Ottawa's favorite daily game show. What's up, Chuck? So, Simmer?
Yeah.
As we sit here on Tuesday morning at 7:14 in the morning... What's up, Chuck?
Well, from what I understand, JR, they have continued to have extensive and very positive dialogue between the Sens and the camp. And I actually laughed yesterday. Not laughed, because I know Frank Cervelli's a great get. He was on with Wally and Meth, and he really, in about 2 minutes of summation, really didn't have a whole lot to say other than, hey, it continues to go along, JR, and that's all I've been updated on. I do not feel that anything's imminent, but at the same time, it's always the same thing. The minute you think there is no deal, then there will be a deal, as I think is now being reported again from what I've said. Brady Tkachuk has no plans to come to Ottawa anytime soon.
Yes, I see people are starting to come around.
Yeah, boy, that's interesting, eh? he's going to come and he's got his car and he's there. But hey, listen, which doesn't matter either. Like, that's not a big deal. Like, but also you're not going to come here and get in the way. Like, I understand. But hey, he'll stay there, he'll train, he'll do his thing, and hopefully they can get a deal done. But I'll tell you, and I've said this before, from the pressure points of where you go, and more pressure points will come come this weekend. These lots of times, JR. But hey, anybody that keeps, and it's been thrown out that these are just typical restricted free agents. And the fact that there are so many, JR, certainly that's a great point by people. There's no doubt that there's not. But in this particular case, for the auto centers to want to have their house in order, to sit there and think that both sides would not want to have a deal done by now and that you want to wait for the weekend and, hey, you're going into a bit of a showdown, well, of course you don't. So obviously, there's an issue as far as where they're at contractually, where they're at financially. And as we said, as of Tuesday morning, I have no word of anything different.
Yeah, and at this point, is it financial? Is it more philosophical in nature in terms of, you know, like no trades, no moves when he gets into the, if it's a long-term deal and he gets into the unrestricted years? Is it signing bonuses, potentially, or lack thereof?
Yeah.
Is it front-loaded, back-loaded? Like, philosophically, it could be a different, or it could come down to just straight-up cash, baby.
Yeah, and little homie. And also to that, JR, here's just my thoughts, and this is just if I was operating the Ottawa Senators. First of all, a no movement to a clause would Brady Tkachuk at this age would be, and I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. If that's really what's hanging up a deal, I'll give it to him if that's what he wants. Now, getting into the signing bonuses, I'm not a huge fan of it, but if you also said to me that I'm going to have a backloaded contract that in years 5 through 8 is going to pay you more and he's going to get a signing bonus on it, well, what I would also do is take some of my money and tuck it in the bank because I don't have to pay it for another 5 years. So if it's an actual salary the first 4 years, which is lower, and then all of a sudden it balloons up 5, 6, 7, 8, really doesn't matter what the salary is at that point, JR, because at that point he's an unrestricted free agent. You know what I mean? You're not getting into any of the qualifying stuff. Sure, you're working off of that if you have another contract. But if at that point he needs signing bonus, like I said, allocate that into your budget. Be thankful that you're paying less up front. And then at the end of the day, you should get a deal done. But as I said, I really think at the end of the day, personally, from what I've gathered, is that both sides would like long term. And I think it just comes quite simply down to the dollars. Again, the Tkachuk family could say, well, I need to sign. Hey, listen, if you're going to get 64 or 72 or whatever the hell you're going to get over 8 years, JR, how you slice it up within that many months, which is 12 months on the calendar, you're still going to get your dough. I think it would personally, just my own guess, is that this is probably just more of a financial issue. That's all I think.
So on the topic of, you know, philosophically, you said that you're not big on no moves and no trade. And again, just the way the rules work, you cannot give a player a no trade or a no move until he gets to his unrestricted years. Yeah, so for the first 4 years, you know, you couldn't give Brady Tkachuk that. But if it's a 5 year deal or beyond, you can give him a no move, a no trade, a modified no trade in any of the last years of that beyond
that
4 years.
How,
if you had to guess, and maybe you've already looked this up, if you had to guess, how many players currently signed to the Ottawa Senators roster as listed on Cap Friendly do you think have any sort of trade protection?
Oh, I'd say zero.
It's actually two.
Oh, okay.
Matt Murray has a modified no trade, and Nikita Zaitsev, brought over from a contract signed in Toronto, has a modified no trade as well.
Well, when you have the players where Ottawa's at, which are mostly entry-level or just coming out of it, JR, the tendency is you're not going to have many of those anyway. So, but, you know, and every negotiation different. I hope I made my point clear, though, is that if I had to give him that for years 4 through 8, I'd give it to him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
It's interesting to kind of go in our Wayback Machine now. We were talking earlier this morning. We found, Hammer found the audio, Brady Tkachuk on the Cam and Strick podcast, which comes out of St. Louis, where, of course, he has spent the majority of the offseason, where his parents live and where he continues to train as we speak this morning. He was on that podcast earlier this summer. Let's go in our Wayback Machine. This is before we even started contemplating the contract negotiation that was to come.
I think it's awesome. I think it's pretty cool going through this for the first time.
Yeah, see, there you go. You got to embrace it.
Be happy.
Of course, it's a little stressful. People say, oh, I just shouldn't think about it, but it's your future. It's your life. Yeah. It's like, but I'm just excited that it's happening to me, and I think it's going to be, you know, pretty cool, and we'll see what happens, but I'm definitely excited for it.
If we could drop the microphone into Tkachuk family manner this morning at 6:20, we'd probably be waking Brady up, or maybe he's already on the ice at training this morning. Do you think he would share of it's awesome, I'm excited, and it's pretty cool at this stage?
Yeah, no, I probably not share, but this would also be, and again, I think he's absolutely mature in a lot of different ways, but he's also a kid, and I don't even know from a standpoint of, I'm assuming they sit down regularly, but how much does Craig Oster necessarily, you know, this is where the agent has to know the athlete, and the unique part of being an uncle and obviously having your sister and your brother-in-law and everything else, agents don't always go right away every day to the player because some guys can't handle it, right? And other guys want to know all the time. Mm-hmm. It's really understanding your client and the dynamic of what's happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, because
deals you did over the years, there were sometimes where the agent did everything, and the word from his client was, his player was, just come to me when you've got a deal that you think I should sign.
Or when you've done the bargaining and you basically, hey, we got a decision to make on term, dollars, or you think it's close, let's sit down and have a conversation, you know, and you'll stay updated. Now, communication, obviously, now with texting and everything else that goes on. But yeah, I don't think you want, it becomes an incredibly, you can imagine, I don't think in Brady Tkachuk's case, but other times, if you're trying to work out an extension, you don't know if you're staying somewhere. Think back to Mark Mathot when he went down to the 11th hour at the trade deadline, right when he signed his extension here. It looks easy after the fact, but remember, I think Brian Murray said, listen, this is as high as we're going at 4.9. I'm not going to 5. Decide, do you want to get a deal done now, or do you want to go and be traded somewhere? Do you know what I mean? So it could become it's an incredibly emotional roller coaster. So I think you have to be careful as to how much information. And the big, big part is, and this is for anybody, and even for Brady Tkachuk, if you've built somebody up, you have to be so careful about what the offers are coming in, JR, because somebody may look at that right away and say, are you kidding me? That's all that they think of me? You know what I mean? And that's, it's part of negotiation, but some athletes obviously handle that very differently.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And again, we're talking about an agent who is very experienced in Craig Oster and Newport Sports. We're also talking about a family. Yeah. At least from the dad that has been through this a million times. Yeah. And so Brady Tkachuk, even his brother, has gone through it. He signed one contract already.
What time of year did Matthew sign, JR? Did he?
He was not unsigned into training camp. Okay. I don't remember the time of year he signed. Okay. I think it was, you know, it might have been around this time. Maybe Hammer, you can look that up. I don't remember him going into Flames camp unsigned, though. So we're at that. So again, the update is Brady Tkachuk, as you've been saying for the last week, has remained in St. Louis. Yeah. All this talk about him being in town last week, you said, no, he was in Virginia visiting his sister. That is the truth.
Yeah.
He is going to remain in St. Louis for the time being until, in all probability, either a deal is done or it looks like it's going to be done. Yeah. So that's the kind of update on that part of it.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is one of the things being forwarded now, because I think I feel pretty strongly about this, that I believe that the majority of the leverage in this negotiation belongs with Brady Tkachuk for a bunch of reasons that we just went through.
I'll go at around 99.9% here.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to go with 95, okay, but if you want to go 99.9, he has a majority of the leverage in this situation. Yeah. Yeah. It has been suggested in the pages of the Ottawa Sun this morning. Let me just read Bruce's story here. We're coming up to an Olympic year, Bruce Garriott. Okay. Brady Tkachuk, Josh Norris. Well, I'll just read the paragraph.
Yeah.
This is a big year for the likes of Tkachuk, Norris, and Colin White. All three would like to suit up for Team USA at the Winter Olympics. To get there, all have to earn their spots. And if Tkachuk isn't on the ice for the first day of camp, it will put him behind the eight ball coming out of the gate. So that's what's in there this morning.
Are you joking?
No, I'm assuming that's coming from Sullivan, the coach, right? Because you wouldn't put that out there. Like, obviously he's in touch with USA Hockey, and they've told Brady,
get into camp, Brady, or you got no shot at making the U.S. Olympic team. None. First day of camp, you got to be there.
I think Dad tipped the scales at 250 and still played in the Olympics. Whatever. First of all, Colin White won't even be on the radar. Probably too early for Norris. I don't even know if many people have Brady. I think Brady will probably make it, JR. But any thought or theory in the United States, first of all, a couple of things. Does Brady Tkachuk want to be here? He does. Why does he want to be here? Because he actually loves being an Ottawa Senator, and he wants to start the season and wants to start where they started last year. Does he want to make the Olympic team? Absolutely. But come on, let's get serious here on that. And leverage and negotiation is the furthest thing from his mind. We'll see how it plays out, what ends up happening with it. But as I said, it'll have absolutely zero effect. And the other part with the United States, JR, their talent pool, although very strong, is not nearly as deep as Canada. Canada, right? Like you go through their lineups and you start to do some models. It's way better every year. It keeps getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But Brady Tkachuk is like when they pick their World Junior team, you know, they basically bring in a mix of who the team is going to be. Where Canada brings in two teams, you know, the U.S. has gotten better and better. But when you're projecting these things out, you know, it's not like there's 60 forwards that they're battling with to make it. Like I say, he's either on their radar or he's not, and that will have zero effect. Now, if we get to December 1st or December 15th, when there's a cutoff, now you start to have some issues. But as far as right now, that has zero, and I repeat, zero effect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to move the needle whatsoever at this point. Now I did, as we said, he's one of 16 unsigned restricted free agents at this point. Ottawa is not alone in having a star player who is unsigned. We talked yesterday about this extensively. Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, sure. They got two of them out in Vancouver right now. Yeah. We've got Rasmus Dahlin, very good defenseman with Buffalo. Yeah. Kind of flies under the radar, but he's still going to be an excellent defenseman. Yeah. It's just a matter of the Sabres have been so terrible, people forget about him.
Yeah.
And the other, the more interesting one, is Kirill Kaprizov, the reigning Calder Trophy winner with Minnesota, who's a bit older.
Yeah.
He has a little bit more leverage in terms of he'll reach unrestricted free agency ahead of the others, but it's not imminent. He's still a restricted free agent. But interesting, in the pages of The Athletic, Mike Russo, who covers the Wild, was in touch with Bill Guerin last night for kind of an update on where it sits. And Kaprizov, of course, also has the potential leverage of signing in the KHL as well. And here's the quote from Bill Guerin. We're at a point where we feel we're being extremely fair, talking about his offer. Yeah. How far apart are we? Not very. But sometimes those can be the things that take a while. I mean, that's the way I see it. You could ask Paul, is it Theofanis? That's his name?
Theofanis,
the agent?
Yeah.
Theofanis?
Yeah.
Or Kirill, and they might say something very different.
Yeah.
One possible, that's the end quote, one possible stumbling block in the negotiations could be a team trend in recent signings where the Wild give little or no signing bonuses.
Yeah.
So, again, that's the situation here in Ottawa where no one is getting signing bonuses these days. Minnesota, and they're not alone. There's a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I think most teams would prefer not to give signing bonuses. Yeah. Why give away money up front when you don't have to?
Yeah.
Interesting quote from Guerin, and as it might apply to the Senators as well in their negotiations with Tkachuk. They may not be that far apart, right now it's kind of line in the sand. Yeah. Who blinks first?
No, very much so. And that is the part in dealing with Paul quite a bit. I can tell you a little bit more about Paul, though, JR. One of the most interesting people on the planet. Used to be part of the CIA. Lived in Moscow as a double agent. Actually traveled into Afghanistan as part of the CIA. But we'll save that for another day. Very, very interesting cat. This is also one of the ones negotiating. If I'm Billy Guerin, I'd probably jump on the bird and probably head over and try to settle things. I really feel like, because you discussed last week about who might being on offer sheets, I really feel like Minnesota's teeing this up to get this guy term and leave it open where they can move him at some point, because they get into a glut of craziness. And I've also heard that he really doesn't like being in Minnesota. So we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, it is the art of the negotiation. And Paul is very experienced. And if you've dealt with him, very cool and calm. And Kaprizov, I think also last week, it's Fedorov's team, right, that he was talking to in Moscow. You know, they kind of pushed that aside. First of all, the money, the risk, everything else that would be involved in that. He'd probably make a couple million tax-free on a one-year deal. So that leverage is very slight, but at least a place to play. So, yeah, we'll see. And also to Brady Tkachuk, a couple of things. I don't know what he's asking for, and this was something I'll throw out. Like, they may be asking for such crazy money that, you know, you're kind of trying to talk him off the ledge. I don't know that, Jer, so I'm respectful of that. And also, when you have 16 guys, if Brady Tkachuk was the only one sitting there, Jer, I'd say, okay, you know, I understand. But those are the two pressure points. To your point, is there's lots of guys, and without really knowing what the ask is on either side, I'm just a little cautious on that because, you know, like I said, we've built this fella up to where it might be ridiculous, where he thinks come unrestricted free agent, he's a $12 million hockey player. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the part. That's the part we don't know exactly. So anyway, all right. So there's your update, such as it is, on the Brady Tkachuk front. It's essentially what everything that Simmer's been saying for the last week has been now laid out in print as well.
Yeah.
All right, we'll keep you up to date on that. 7:29. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the Blue Jays story. Your thoughts, by the way, welcome on anything we chat about. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. By the way, thanks. Hammer looked it up. So I was wrong about the Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay.
He actually did not sign until about the middle of Flames training camp back in 2019.
Okay.
He missed five preseason games, signed September the 25th, 2019. So this is back when camps typically began. Like this, we're pushing it a little later this year because of a late, you know, late Stanley Cup.
Okay.
So camps are opening about a week later. So the equivalent would be about October 1st of this year in terms of where camps are at.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So there you go.
Good work,
so
Hammer.
There is some family history there that maybe this might drift into the beginning of camp and thereabouts.
And Dad, again, took an offer sheet with Chicago when he was with Winnipeg, which is fine. But I also just think about how much money Billy Guerin got. And he got that last, was it ridiculous contract with Dallas? He was flying around on planes. And at that point, Billy's was really not much left. Billy was a bit of, you watch him at Taylor Hall, incredible physical skills, never the best hockey sense in the world, but a very good power forward. But I remember that when Dallas flew him in, and Bo certainly knows the contract world from his own days.
An interesting quote from Matthew in the story after he signed was, for the business part to be over, business went great, and it was a great process, and now you get to play. I loved it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So maybe it's kind of like the way the Kachucks play on the ice, right? They're always sort of spoiling for a fight.
Yeah,
right? That's kind of part of the fun. You'd look at it, right? Like, I'm going to bend you to my way.
And then, hey, and when it's done, it's done. You know, and that's the best part.
And the game's over. The game's over.
Exactly.
Who was it that gave you that great kid sports philosophy?
Yeah.
Who was it that gave you that?
We didn't trademark that, though, right?
No.
Because that's just complete nonsense.
You should have.
We got to come up with a handle for the missing kicker, because the kicker is only your good when the kickers kick kicks. So when the kicker can't kick kicks and can't be found, kicker should be probably, what, cut the next day?
Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. Phone lines open at 750-1200. As we roll on here for Tuesday morning, you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. There we go. Now we're bringing up a notch or two. Welcome back, everybody. 7:38, Tuesday morning, J.R. Simmer and Hammer, 15 minutes away or so from your cue to text and our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. We'll talk some Blue Jay baseball coming up in just a second. And Keegan Matheson from MLB.com will join us as well. And Larry, that's for you. Larry texted in. He's very disappointed in all the conversation going on about Brady Kachuk. Tired of it. Mm-hmm. Want to talk about the Blue Jays. Yeah. Hey, Larry, we spent, if you weren't with us in the first hour, a good chunk of time on the Blue Jays. We'll spend some more time on it, but Brady Kachuk is a huge story in this city. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. His contract or lack thereof, if you were to poll the average sports fan in Ottawa, is the number one topic by far.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, and I, on social media, blew a small gasket on the weekend, JR, but and part of this is in trying to, first of all, give information, and what was floated out to me was what is a very basic contract negotiation, and they're having good dialogue. I got to be quite honest with you. I'm not saying that my day is always pressure-packed. I do have laundry, do have chores at home, along with doing the show itself, but I would not be taking any time, and I repeat, any time out of my day to go and report or try to find out stuff on this if I didn't feel like that there was a little more to the story than just a casual negotiation that'll be settled right away. I still think they'll get it settled, JR, but I want to make that clear to people. And if you do approach me on social media, do not... I know.
Beware the bite of the dog.
No, don't talk. You know, if you want questions, honestly, I love when people want to talk, but if someone's going to send me, well, don't you think you're stirring up drama? Hey, man, all I'm doing is reporting, and when I start to hear some of the things I've heard, and I haven't even given you half of what I actually know, hey, just ask the questions, that's all.
Yeah, and again, to reiterate, from the Sens' point of view, Pierre Dorion has said as recently as last week on this station, he considers the talks to be positive. So that's where we sit right now.
Yeah.
Let's see here, from on text at 12-1200 from Unsigned. You heard it here first. Brady signs Thursday. Yeah, I said yesterday. Thursday's his birthday.
The birthday, yeah.
Okay, and this from me to the order. Good morning, boys. Just want to say, I think the Sens social media looks dumb, pumping up Timmy and Chabby and the 2021 at the 2021 NHL Media Tour. Nothing wrong with those boys, but Brady is the face of the franchise, and putting those picks up without him around just seems petty. That's from me to the order. Well, here, listen.
That's ridiculous.
Brady Kachuk is not going to be going to represent the Ottawa. He normally would have been there, but he's an unsigned player at this point. So the Senators have sent two players that are signed. Yeah. Two also very good faces of the franchise.
Yeah.
I understand the point of it, but there is no team in the NHL in a similar circumstance with a similar player where he would have been at that thing, that event yesterday in Toronto either. Yeah. So that is not unusual in any way.
No, and I got to be honest
Nor
with
is it
you.
Petty.
And first of all, put some fun to have the dancing of Jimmy Stu and Mitch Marner on. And the first thing that jumped out, and Mitch Marner's a cool young cat, I thought, first of all, Shabby and Stu Balls, or Stewie, or Jimmy Stu, whatever you call them, I thought they looked so sharp, and especially Jimmy Stu. Boy, over the summer, JR, and there was a picture on social media, I think him and Shabbat were playing tennis. He had the tarps off. Man, oh man, is he in great shape.
Looking ripped?
I don't know, in tennis.
He had a good summer?
Didn't spend too much time at the schnitzel buffet?
No, looked, he just looks absolutely jacked. I think the reverse ass still strong. And no, he looked great. But what also I've really just found, JR, is that he's evolved from that little boy yesterday, or last year, to this real handsome young man. And he looked terrifically dressed. He was having some fun. And I just think, man, oh man. And I put out on Twitter, he is quite simply Alexander Degg's looks with Marion Hossa's hockey. And not no disrespect to the Hoss, because I think he's a fine-looking man. I didn't want to go quite to Fisher, because that's certainly on the elite side.
Yeah.
But when you watch this kid, man, it was just, and I thought Shabbat, you know, hey, if Shabbat does become the captain, JR, I think it should be Tkachuk. But, man, what a terrific young man, and what a great ambassador for the Sens. And I thought the showing of both of them yesterday, just the way they presented themselves, was just super classic.
I have been nothing but impressed. I'm not at the rink, you know, in a typical day like a lot of the guys here at the station are, a lot of the media. I don't deal with those guys nearly as much as they do. But I've been nothing but impressed in the few times that Thomas Shabbat has come into the station and been here. Everything about him is nothing but first class and professional. If it ends up being him, if they were to choose him anyway, even if and when Tkachuk gets signed and they end up choosing Shabbat, that is not a bad option whatsoever for a bunch of different reasons.
No, it really isn't. And it doesn't have to be bilingual, but it doesn't hurt you, Aaron. Again, the evolution of his English, his maturity, just his overall feel, I think has been tremendous. Now, I hope for this year that he takes it next level. And with our good friend, the Zubmeister, on the right side flanking him, he's in a great spot there. Now start becoming a more complete player, make the Olympic team, continue to evolve. But as far as the rest of it, like I said, hey, is he a 15th pick overall?
Shabbat was 18th.
18th. Man, oh man. Like, seriously, you know, and we talk a lot about where do you find these players. Well, generally you do find them in the top five.
Was an exceptional draft year, though.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. But you can go back to Carlson, where he was, 15th overall?
Yeah.
It just really is. So, no, I thought that was a real good look for Ottawa yesterday. I just looked at Stutz and thought, man, the guy just oozes excitement. Like, he's just so excited about being an Ottawa Senator and so excited to get going. And the only piece left in is getting his roomie signed.
Let's just quickly touch on this at the end of the show yesterday. DJ Smith spoke with Mark Broussard of Le Droit on last week, and on the weekend Mark wrote a story in which he talked about DJ Smith talked about to at least start training camp the look of the pairings on defense. So Shabbat and Zub are going to start together. Doesn't mean they'll start the season, but they're going to start together. And then the second pairing, the so-called I guess any pairing that Zaitsev is on, is seen to be the shutdown pair. Well, he's going to start with Del Zotto. We can speak about that in just a second. But on the Shabbat thing, this was interesting, I thought. The DJ Smith spoke of the fact of, going against what he said last year, which, you know, in the middle of when Shabbat was seemingly playing about 50 minutes a night. Do we have the clip of him?
Defies logic, but he, you know, the more he plays, the better he is.
Yeah. They've kind of come around on that a little bit and decided that, we're playing the guy too much. We're going to dial back his minutes. And how they're going to dial back his minutes, not by a large portion, but by a little bit, is they're going to put him in a position more so to succeed, which is they're going to give him more offensive zone starts. He already gets a ton, but getting even more, and fewer defensive zone starts. Not that it's easy to start in the offensive zone, but it can be very difficult to start in the defensive zone. So fewer defensive zone starts.
Yeah.
But part of what he had to say, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but part of what DJ Smith talked about was the fact that making the Canadian Olympic team is a goal of Thomas Shabbat, and the Ottawa Senators want to put him in the best position to succeed to achieve that goal. Do you have any issue with that whatsoever? Should it not be team first and Olympic second?
To me, it goes hand in hand, JR, because there are times for sure I'd look at that and say, well, they're not even a playoff team. But in essence of, and again, this is what I want to make clear about DJ Smith as well, just like everybody else, JR, he's learning as he goes along. And what you thought last year, there's nothing wrong with sitting down. Just like you change his system and say, hey, this isn't right. Thomas Shabbat, what do I want? I'll use the word continuously, JR. I want him to be dynamic. Sure, he can skate forever, and he can play like a bandy player and skate around the rink probably all 60 minutes, but I need him on the offensive zone and on the power play to be dynamic. He had that his first year when Erik Karlsson was out for a little bit, where he walked the line. When he became a one-speed player, well, he's okay, but defensively, he's got to shore it up, got to be more physical. So to me, this is what's going to happen from a scouting standpoint. Play the right minutes, play properly. Everything's going to be great with Ottawa. And what's the biggest thing the Olympic team's going to be looking for? First of all, if you can say he's going to run the power play for Canada, which there's certainly some great options with Cale Makar and some others. So right there, if you don't necessarily have that spot, they're going to use the word trust. Do we trust Thomas Chabot to come and play? Because you think back to that defense that was in Russia and Sochi, JR, they would just lock it down, right? Mm. I mean, every one of those guys
to the
was,
point of being boring.
Well, exactly. Where we had to feast on watching, was it Latvia that they played forever and almost looked like... So that's what they're going to be looking at. I know you're dynamic, but we've already got that. And if we do, if we're not going to play on a power play, I need a very complete player and a defender. So like I said, I really think it goes hand in hand. And I don't mind that being as a motivational tool or a tool for Thomas Chabot right now.
Right. The only left side D that seems to be cemented in for Canada at this stage is Shea Theodore out of Vegas. After that, it's a mix of Thomas. I'm going to forget somebody, but Thomas Chabot, Morgan Riley. I've seen Josh Morrissey's name, and I'm forgetting one other guy who's probably a little bit ahead in the pecking order.
That right side would be what? Petrangelo to Makar.
To Makar to, there's another obvious one.
Well,
that I'm
Doughty's been talked about.
Yeah, don't know that he's an obvious
one. Yeah,
I
don't know if he's obvious as well.
Yeah.
Well, you just look at anybody to do with the Norris Trophy without him being Fox last year. The part I will say, too, is that, hey, I like Theodore a lot. But I'll also say as the season went on, especially when they played Montreal last year, JR, he was not very good. Like, he became exactly what I said you don't want to be. If I was to put them in a game together, boy, I think Thomas Chabot, when playing properly, is a better player than Theodore, personally.
Hmm. All right. So there we go. Yeah. So anyway, that was an interesting story in the pages of Le Droit over the weekend. Okay, 7:48. Larry, this one's for you. Taking you back to last night's Jays game.
3-1. There's a swing and a shot up the left field line, screaming into the corner, and it's gone! A frozen rope right up the line and over the wall and left. There's a new home run leader, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with number 45.
Yep, it went, well, the number on the wall says it's 328 feet. It went 328 and a half feet, and no... to the texture this morning that made it seem like it intimated that it just eked over the fence. I said it was a frozen rope. I said it was on a line. The exit velocity, 114 miles per hour, which would be make it one of the hardest hit balls of the season for the Blue Jays. So it was a no-doubter in terms of how hard it was hit. It was just a matter of was it going to make it over the fence. It made it right over the corner of the fence. Regardless, they all count, and Guerrero has the home run lead in the major leagues. The Blue Jays get another win, 8-1. Alek Manoah, outstanding, 8 innings, shutout ball, 1 hit, 10 strikeouts. Blue Jays have won 12 of 13 in the month of September. You know, baseball is all about numbers, right? So I came across something this morning. I don't remember who tweeted it out, and I can't find it now. But the Blue Jays have hit 36 home runs in their 13 games in September. They're 12-1. They've hit 36 home runs in the 13 games, so averaging 3 home runs per game. They also have a team batting average of 331. So the 331 batting average and the 36 home runs.
Yeah.
So this is how baseball can do it, right?
Okay, yeah.
No team in Major League Baseball history in any 13-game window has had as many home runs and as good a batting average as the Blue Jays have had in their 13 games.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what the computer machine can look up for you.
Nice.
And it helps to play the Orioles for a few of those games. And the Yankees, although they're a decent club, you know, they're not exactly what they used to be in terms of starting pitching in a bullpen. They kind of teed off on the old Yanks as well. But I'm not going to sell them short. It's a lot of fun. Right
if now. I was to ask you, JR, in your lifetime, the greatest hitting team that you've ever watched in baseball, to make a comparison, like, who would you pull up? Like, who would you? Because I guess we're also not thinking about the long ball all the time, right? Mm. Or are they going about a team that could just put up runs all the time?
Yeah.
Are we going back to the A's with Ricky and then the Bash Brothers?
Yeah, maybe kind of Red Sox. I don't know. There's
Yankees, but Yankees would have had
American
a bunch,
League
right?
teams, yeah, right, that true. Had yeah. DHs as well, yeah. where it was like 1 through 9. Yeah. It was like murderer's row.
Yeah.
So
80s Expos. must have been pretty good too. Or actually 90s for that matter.
Yeah, a little bit of speed at the top of the lineup as well.
I love that. I miss the Devon White kind of Tim Raines days.
Stolen base has gone the way of the dodo bird.
And just that, you know, that classic center fielder that could run the wall, could get on, steal a base. Boy, that was
nice. Ron LaFleur.
Oh, Ronnie right came in. A little double zero action.
No, I think that was Al Oliver.
You're right. I think that Ronnie LaFleur, one of them just come out of jail when he got traded to the Expos. Okay.
I believe so. It was an interesting cast of characters in Montreal. But we digress. Blue Jays now have the wild card lead for the first time all season, Hammer. Tampa Bay's been in first place pretty much all year.
The Red Sox held that lead for a little bit, and then the Rays just absolutely passed them.
In terms of the wild card, though, have the Blue Jays ever been in first place in the wild card all year? So they have now with this winning streak they're on. They're not home and cooled. It's still close. Obviously, they're on a tremendous roll right now. There's only 18 games to go. Dare I say, and I'll ask the biggest Blue Jay fan here in the show.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays going to win the World Series? The Blue Jays going to win the American League pennant. Let's start smaller. They got to win a wild card game. They're going to have to beat, in all probability, the Rays in a best of five. And then, in all probability, they're going to have to beat probably the Astros, maybe the White Sox, in a pennant series.
Absolutely they can, man. You just got to take a look at that rotation, right? It's pitching. The only thing that I worry about overall with the Jays is their defense. Now, I am 100%. Confident in Guerrero right now at first. Third base, they've kind of shored up. It'll be nice when Espinal comes back and they can get him back in at third. Bichette at short, I'm still a little questionable about. Even Simeon right now, he's kind of missed a couple of balls at second base. The outfield's the outfield. And getting some nice assists from Gurriel.
What does that mean, the outfield is the outfield?
The Springmeister? Is he back?
He's not playing center fielder yet.
He's
DHing right now.
As soon as he plays, he gets hurt.
And that would be a worry. If you can get Springer back in center field, that would be fantastic. But just look at the four-man rotation that they can send out there in Berrios. You've got
Ray.
You've got
Berrios.
You've got Manoa, who just shut down the Rays.
That's a pretty good four-man rotation right now.
And then their lineup, top to bottom.
In a five-game series, you never go a four-man rotation, though, do you?
Yeah, you could.
Oh, you do? Okay, I thought you go three and then
Well, they
one
usually go
the...
two, day off, two, and then day off, one.
Okay.
So, it depends. Because
you can bring your one back for that fifth game.
Or you could pitch him in the fourth game on short rest and have him go four or five, and you're going to have your game four starter then come in to give you some long relief.
I kind of always thought you get into the longer series that they always go down to three and then slide that guy into middle relief for.
All depends on how desperate you are, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're facing an elimination, you want to go out with your absolute best.
So you think Tight Pants gets the ball in the wild card still?
Tight Pants, absolutely.
Tight Pants, Robbie Ray.
Yeah. He right now, there's no question to it. Ryu's been up and down, right? He's good start, bad start, good start, bad start.
Well, get him on the day he has a good start.
And when is
that? We could predict these things.
No, if he comes off a bad start.
That's how Vegas was
built. No, you pitch him at the end of the season. If he's bad, then you start him because he's going to be good.
Robbie Ray has been the most consistent. Got a little hit up, banged up in Baltimore in game one of that doubleheader.
What was with the manager of the Orioles yelling at him on Friday?
I don't know.
Is there some past history there that I'm not aware of? He was like they had live... a mic, like you could make out,
like dropping swears, left, right, and center.
Was there something I missed in the first inning where he was delivering some chin music or something? And I don't think he was.
This all happened the Saturday I was in Mississauga, so that's a foggy day, but I do remember seeing it.
I thought it was Friday night that game. Yeah, it was Friday night because the Blue Jays lost. It was the Friday night game.
Okay, that they lost.
So you were in the middle of getting fogged up.
Again, still foggy.
Yeah,
but I thought Robbie Ray was taking exception to the Orioles for taking some time and getting up to the plate, or it was vice versa, or Robbie Ray was taking too long, and the old skipper there was like, "Let's go, speed it up, let's get pitching here."
All right, like he's off the accelerator there, big man. He's just shouting out a blue streak. I haven't seen anything like that in a long time.
And then
he wanted to throw down. He apologized the next day. Yeah. He did. It was like he lost his head. So I'm not sure what was, and you know, he's managing a terrible baseball team.
You're the manager of the Orioles. Just zip your lip. You've got absolutely nothing to talk about whatsoever.
Well, on the other part, guys, I can only imagine in a park that's empty, conversations that are even a whisper. You probably can hear the bullpen phone, right? The older manager with his hearing aid in, you already know who he's bringing in from the bullpen, hey?
You can probably hear him in D.C.
Oh, my God, and
echoing off the empty seats of Camden Yards.
Boob's Beef Pit, even in right field.
Hey,
excellent meal.
The building that's behind the right field wall at Camden Yards, which is an old brick building.
Train station.
Is it the train station?
Yeah.
Man. So is it like they've redone the facade?
Yeah.
Did they make that into condos or something or rebuilt it, or is it just a facade?
The Orioles offices are in there, JR.
Oh, are they? Okay.
And then there was another segment that I think has been finished. But okay, so I went there in 1988. That was an abandoned old building, and there were a bunch of rail cars that just sat in that empty field for years. Like, that was just an abandoned area, and all of a sudden they decided, whoever come up with it, right across the street is the Inner Harbor, so it's a great location, but yeah, sat there forever. So they cleaned it right up, and it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Unfortunately, the team sucks.
Robbie Ray was complaining about the Orioles stealing signs.
Mm. Weren't the...
Were they banging garbage cans?
That's thanks
or
to
what?
Jeremy on the Twitter machine and Anonymous.
Yeah, didn't that also happen in the Mets-Yankees, where the Yankees are going a little whistling? Are they Roger Whittaker were doing the manager?
Of course.
Francisco Lindor was doing the old faux whistle.
We're getting to that time of the year in baseball, right, where everybody's tired. If you're out of it, you're just sick of it all. You just want the season to be over and you want to go home.
I maybe, and again, I don't mean this as any type of country. Well, I find the South American players, they're ready for a throwdown at any moment, JR. And they appear. There was a guy the other day, I can't remember a pitcher. He knew the guy. They were from the same country. And he was basically just saying, hey, come on, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to smoke you if you want to come out here.
All right, 7:57. We'll take a break when we come back. We're going to play for $1,000. Somebody's going to play for $1,000. Can today be the day? If you feel like you can answer 10 questions correctly in 60 seconds, then I would like to speak to you now. You need to text us. You need the lucky texter number. We talked about Jose Tatar. He, for some reason, wore number 60. Texter number 60 at 12-1200. Right now, standard messaging rates apply. We'll play for $1,000. All we need is your first and last name, your ability to pick up the phone when we call you in 2 minutes. That's coming up next on TSN 1200.
And 1200's $1,000 Minute.
All right, let's get after it with our contestant this morning. And it is Matthew. How are you doing this morning, Matthew?
Good, how are you?
Excellent, thanks. You need $1,000?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Let's see if we can give it to you. You know the way the contest works?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, here we go. So I've got 10 skill testing sports questions. You've got 60 seconds. If you answer all 10 correctly, you're going to win $1,000. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. All right. So you got to go 10 for 10. If you don't, we'll give you $10 per correct answer. Here are the very simple rules, Matthew, since you're new to the contest. All right. I need all of your answers by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full, complete answer. So you can't change. You can change your mind halfway through. Can't change it after your answer's out. Okay. And if you want to, you can pass on a question. If we have time, we'll go back to the question. Okay.
Gotcha.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. You feeling lucky?
It's Tuesday, so who knows?
It's Tuesday. That's what we said. Tuesday's a lucky day, unless it's not. All right, Matthew, here we go. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Which is the only team ahead of the Blue Jays in the AL East?
Tampa Bay Rays.
Brothers John and Jim Blank coached against each other in the Super Bowl.
Harbaugh.
In terms of average yearly salary, who's the highest paid player in hockey?
McDavid.
True or false, Vladdy Guerrero leads the AL in homers, RBI, and average.
True.
Which Canadian opponent did the Sens have the most wins against last season?
Vancouver.
What country is hosting next year's Winter Olympics?
Japan.
Name either MLB team, both the Griffies played for.
Seattle.
True or false, John Gruden has won a Super Bowl.
True.
Within 2 years, in what year did Major League Baseball cancel its season?
94.
Who has won the Super Bowl more recently, Ravens or Raiders?
Ravens.
All right, we've got our 10 answers. Let's review. This is going to be exciting. How did you think you did, Matthew, for a first time?
That Olympic question's dead wrong.
Okay, wow. All right. Well, you're taking some of the suspense out of it. All right, here we go. It's the only team ahead of the Jays. The Tampa Bay Rays is correct. Harbaugh is the correct answer on Super Bowl, brothers. In terms of average, McDavid is correct. True or false, Guerrero. He actually doesn't lead in RBI. He's four back, I believe, as of this morning. So you got that one wrong. Bit of a trick question. Apologize for that. Which Canadian opponent did the Sens have the most wins against? It was actually Calgary. You got that one wrong. China is hosting the Winter Olympics, not Japan. You got that one wrong. John Gruden has won a Super Bowl, coaching Tampa. The Griffies played for Seattle and Cincinnati. The Ravens won the Super Bowl more recently than the Raiders, correct? And within 2 years, 94 was the year Major League Baseball canceled its season. You got that one dead on. What do we got for Matthew?
$70 for Matthew.
How's that sound, friend?
I'll take it.
$70 more than you had 5 minutes ago.
Perfect.
All right, listen, our thanks for playing the game and listening. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, there he goes. You know what? When he answered with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Little struggle on the Olympic thing and ended up getting it wrong and realized afterward that he got it wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, though, Jer. I would have gone 7 for 10 there.
Whoa.
Well, the baseball one. Griffey, I would have got Seattle. What was the Sens one again, sorry? Was it most wins against Canadian teams?
Yeah,
or?
Which team did they beat the most last year?
I don't...
Remember, they just thundered Calgary. It was ridiculous.
Okay, they got thundered by Vancouver and then mopped them up afterwards, right? And Edmonton was the most lopsided one, right?
Yeah, that was the team they couldn't beat.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, well... Couldn't do it today. Thought today might be the day. I was, you know what? Again, delivered with confidence. Just missed a couple. There's one. I put the one trick one in there with Vladdy because he's close. He leads in homers, leads in average. He's, I believe, four or five back in RBI right now. Just having a tremendous year and a triple crown contender, to be sure. All right, just past 8 o'clock. We'll get you the latest news. Run down the scoreboard for you. The Ravens and Raiders. We got to come back and talk about that because that Monday Night Football game last night, just the overtime itself was incredible. But we're also going to hear from, this was a unique broadcast last night. If you were flipping around the TSN channels, the four of them that had the broadcast last night, one of them had a new experiment they're doing where Peyton and Eli Manning are, they're not broadcasting the game. They're just talking about the game as they're watching it. It was pretty interesting. And if you watched it, certainly love your thoughts on it. We're going to hear a little bit of what they had to say as well as they watched last night's game unfold. So we'll get to that next hour, just after 9, Keegan Matheson will talk Blue Jay baseball with us. And we'll also get into the Red Blacks. Interesting day yesterday for them as they made a pile of signings to try to help out that limping offense. So all of that coming up here and our grand prize winner and our Jersey Monday contest as well with the Red Blacks all straight ahead right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.